You know, you think about that. You think about that forgiveness. How can it be anything else but his amazing love? For him to forgive us, he first loved us. In our sin, he still forgave us. He took the chance of going to that cross knowing there was going to be some that would not accept him. But he still took that chance. I want to share a true story. It talks about a Spanish story of a father and a son who had become estranged to each other because of a disagreement. The son ends up running away, and the father sets off to find him. And for months and months, he tries to find his son, but to no avail, he never does find him. So the father decides to put an ad in the Madrid newspaper. The ad read, "Dear Pickle, meet me in front of this newspaper office at noon on Saturday. All is forgiven. I love you. Signed, your father." When Saturday came, in front of that Madrid newspaper office were 800 men, boys, by the name of Pickle. What were they looking for? They were looking for forgiveness, and they were looking for the love of their father. And that's the thing. How many of us today, our name might be not be called Pickle, but all of us are looking for an opportunity to forgive someone that's offended us, hurt us, or maybe we're praying that there's an open door for the person who has, you know, offended us to come and apologize and ask for forgiveness. But forgiving and forgiveness, we know, are a two-way street. Now, as I was studying this on forgiveness, there's some quotes I want to share with you today. One, this first one's an anonymous one. It says, "We are most like beasts when we kill. We are most like man when we judge. We're most like God when we forgive." The next one is by William Blake. It says, I love this one. It says, "The glory of Christianity is to conquer by forgiveness." Wow. Is to conquer or to overcome with forgiveness. And then the next one by Martin Luther King says, "Forgiveness is not an occasional act. It is a personal or permanent attitude." It's a permanent attitude. In other words, it should be a lifestyle. Forgiveness, forgiving should be a lifestyle. The next one, I'm sure all of you will know this one, you've heard this one before. "To err is human, to forgive is divine." Like I said, Alexander Pope. The next one is by Corrie ten Boom. "You never so touch the ocean of God's love as when you forgive and you love your enemies." And in order for her to say this, she had to experience what it was like to have to forgive and to be able to accept forgiveness. But not only that, when she did experience that forgiveness, and I'm going to share that story a little bit today, how God's love came to her in such a way that she knew that she knew that she had been touched by God. Again, it says, "You never so touch the ocean of God's love as when you forgive and love your enemies." Now, if you've heard the name Corrie ten Boom, it's T-E-N, Corrie ten, T-E-N, Boom. She's the author of the book, The Hiding Place. Has anybody read that book? Anyone here? Okay. So she is a victim of many, many, many people that were imprisoned at the concentration camps during 1933 and 1945. The reason why Corrie Ten Boom and her sister Betsy were arrested, though, is because they were concealing Jews in their homes, and they got caught. And so they were put in prison. They were sent to Ravensbrück concentration camp. And unfortunately, that's where Corrie Ten Boom's sister Betsy died, was there. Now, as I was, you know, I've read this book years ago, but then, you know, because I'm studying this, I kind of wanted to refresh my mind. Some of the details of how they were treated, you can't even put into words. It was just horrifying. But what devastated Corrie Ten Boom was the fact of seeing her sister die the way she died, and there was nothing she could do to help her. But she was released because they were, you know, they shut down these camps, these concentration camps. And in 1947, she felt called to minister the gospel. And she was sent in Germany to a place, and she was ministering in 1947 about forgiveness and on how God takes your sins and throws them into the sea of forgetfulness. Little did she know that this particular day she was going to have to practice what she preached. Because that very day that she was preaching on forgiveness, who ends up being in the audience or among the people that she was preaching to or teaching to was the very guard that was there at her concentration camp. Now, she thought as she recognized him as she was ministering or teaching, she recognized him in the group. And she's, you know, that's stirring up in her. That's really bringing back a lot of flashbacks. But she said as she was teaching, she's like, I wonder if he even recognizes who I am. She's thinking through the whole message like that. Well, after the message is over, the guard comes up to her. And the guard says, you know, you mentioned Ravensbrück in your talk. He says, I was a guard there. But since then, I have come to know the Lord as my Savior, and I'm now a Christian. I know God, he says, has forgiven me for the cruel things that I did there. But I would like to hear it from your own lips that you have forgiven me, Fräulein. As he extends his hand out to her, he says, will you forgive me? Now, again, he probably doesn't remember who she is, but she certainly remembered him. So as he extends his hand out, she's holding her purse, and she's fiddling around, and she's doing everything in the flesh that she does not want to extend her hand to this man. But when she realizes is, she hadn't really forgiven. She really had not. She thought she had, but she really had not. At that very moment, she said, Jesus, help me. She didn't say it out loud. She said it in her inner spirit. She said, Jesus, help me. I cannot do this. I cannot touch this man's hand. I can't. But she said, Jesus, help me. She goes on. She says, knowing that forgiveness is not an emotion. This is the thing I want you to understand. That emotions will get in the way of a moment where we feel led that we should go to someone and ask them to forgive us. Our emotions will get in the way. But the thing about forgiveness is it's not an emotion. It's an act. Just remember what Martin Luther King said. He said, it's a way of life. So forgiveness is not an emotion. Forgiveness is an act. And then it goes on to say, of the will. And will can function. Your will, your desire can function regardless of the temperature of your heart. If your heart is cold towards that person, your will, your desire will override that. So that you can forgive. Now it says, since the end of the war, Corrie Ten Boom had a home in Holland for victims of the Nazi brutality. She put this home together for those that could not cope of what happened to them. Now, again, I say it every Sunday. I'm going to say it again today. If there's something that you take out of here, this is it right here, what I'm going to share with you right now. She goes on to say this. Those who were able to forgive their former enemies were able to also return into the world and rebuild their lives, no matter what their physical scars were or, you know, handicaps were, because some of them, I'm sure, walked out of that concentration camp with some physical disabilities. But she says once they forgave, even though they might have had physical disabilities, they were able to go back into the world and rebuild their lives. This is the part I want you to catch now. But those who nursed their bitterness from being there in the concentration camps remained invalids. Not just invalids physically, but they remained invalids emotionally and mentally and spiritually. Their hearts had become cold and hardened. And the sad thing is this, what they didn't realize was it was the bitterness, it was the anger, it was the unforgiveness that was still keeping them captive. It was like being in the concentration camp over and over and over and over again. And that's what forgiveness does. When we don't forgive, it keeps us captive. We can't move on. And even if we did move on, it's not to the fullness to what God wants it to be. Corrie ten Boom finally extended her hand to this man. God then, the very moment her hand contacted his hand, the very moment that she made contact with his hand, she said, a warmth came up my arm, so warm. And she said it just penetrated and filled my whole body. She goes, I just went to pieces. She goes, I just bawled. She says, I cried so hard. And then she said, the words just came out of my mouth. She said, I forgive you, brother. I cried with all my heart. And then it goes on to say, the former guard and the former prisoner experienced the love of God that was so intense. But why? Because she knew that it was God's will for her to forgive. It wasn't for so much for that guard that she forgave. She forgave because she trusted that God was going to do something mighty in that situation. She trusted God. She knew that in order for God to forgive her, she must first forgive. Isn't that what the Lord's Prayer says? And that's what she did. But as she extended her hand, that's when the anointing, that love anointing, just came down and fell upon both of them. You know, Jesus taught us, again, in the Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. So what is a debt? A debt is a trespass or a sin, a shortcoming, a resentment, an anger, unforgiveness, a wrong that we've done to someone else. That's what a debt is. Someone owes us a debt, we owe them a debt. We all need daily cleansing because we're not perfect. We all err. And the thing is, I have said to you, you know, the more I read the word, the more I find out I don't know. Well, the same is true of the fact that the more you walk with God, the more you will be aware of how much you fall short of the glory of God. You know, and who better an example than Paul? Paul, who was Saul, on the way to persecute more Christians, has a Damascus experience on the Damascus Road, on the way to Damascus. Jesus gets his attention, knocks him off his horse, causes him to go blind temporarily. And yet, God is the God of second chances. And he says to Saul as he's off his horse, he says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" At God's attention real quick. And then, when Ananias came and he prayed over him, and he was healed and he could see again, God got his attention again. And when he realized that this faith, this walk these Christians were walking was the real deal. And because of that, he stepped into what he knew wasn't going to be an easy walk. It was going to be a hard journey. But he gave his all. But even Paul says this, after years of walking with the Lord, he describes himself the chief of sinners. After walking with the Lord and doing what the Lord had called him to do, he still says, "I am the chief of sinners." Because he knows he's only human. Jesus not only taught us that we should pray for our own forgiveness, but we should also pray for those that have offended us, our debtors. And the thing is this, our generous and constant forgiveness of others should be a natural result of our understanding of the forgiveness that God extends to us. If we forgive only for the reason that God forgave us, if for no other reason, and I'm sure that was probably Corrie ten Boom's first motivation to have the desire and the will to extend her hand to this man, because God forgave her. That was probably the only motivated factor that made her step out and forgive this guard. The thing is this, forgiven people should be forgiving people. In Mark 11:25, it says, "But when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive you your sins." And then in Ephesians 4, it says, "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ forgave you." These are God's promises to us that when we trust Him, and that's what it was all about. When Corrie ten Boom extended her hand to make contact with this guard, there was trust there. There was faith there. That's what caused her to do that. Forgiving isn't easy. We all know that. But it is possible with God's power and with God's help. Many people think forgiveness only benefits the person that you're forgiving. But that's not the case. The actual beneficiary of forgiveness is yourself. As you release that bitterness and anger, you are able to live with a real peace and a real joy. So today, very briefly, I want to touch on four areas when it comes to forgiving. First off, you have to make a conscious decision that you want to forgive. That's what Corrie ten Boom did. She just made a decision. I have to do this. That's part of what God is asking us to do. I have to do this. So it says making a quality decision to want to forgive. Because again, forgiveness is not an emotion, it's an act. Forgiving may be uncomfortable at first, may be painful at first because it's bringing up all those old hard feelings to the surface. But going through the process will be the beginning of being set free from the turmoil and the anger and the bitterness that you've probably been carrying on your shoulders for years. There's another benefit from it. You take that load off of you. It takes the load off of your heart physically and emotionally, and it's healthier for you. Okay? Number two, You depend on God, just like Corrie Ten Boom did. She depended on God. Okay, I'm going to do this, God. I'm going to extend my hand to this guy, and I'm going to tell him I forgive him. But this is all you, God, because my flesh doesn't want to do this. My logic, my emotions, I do not want to do this. But because your word says so, I'm going to what? Depend on you to give me the strength. Because she followed through sheerly by faith, she did it sheerly by faith, what happened? She just poured down the anointing of God. The love, the compassion of God just literally filled her body. She experienced a love that she'd probably never experienced before in her life. That love that she experienced made her step out and work and do the call of God in a way that she probably would have never been able to do, because she would have carried that bitterness and anger from being there at the concentration camps. But because she let go of it, God was able to use her totally, not partially, but totally. It says in Ephesians, as I said earlier, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, forgiving others as Christ forgave you. We ask God for the grace that we need as we deal with others who annoy us or who have offended us, who have hurt us. We have to ask for God's grace. Remember I said last week when we talked about when these people were kind of disciples, wanted to take a demon out of somebody and they did it in their own strength. What happened? The demon overpowered them because they didn't do it in God's strength. They did it in their own. And so what we have to realize is when we do forgive, we go, Lord, I don't want to do this in my strength. It's got to be in yours. I can't do this of myself. This has got to be you. And that's what, you know, and I've had situations in my life where I say, Lord, I want to forgive this person. Open up the door of opportunity so that I can do that. But while you're going to do that, prepare my heart and give me the right words to say and show them your love through me. And that's what God's done. He's done it time and time and time again. And he'll open up doors of opportunity so that you can do that. And once you see that door of opportunity, you're going, okay, maybe this isn't the right time. No, it probably is the right time. But when you get closer to it, you say, okay, Lord, I'm doing this. I'm stepping out in this. I'm going forward with this because I know you said that you're going to help me walk through this. Don't let emotions, don't let fear, don't let all these things that come to the surface stop you from taking that opportunity to forgive. Let's go back one. God gives us the ability to follow his will instead of our emotions. God gives us the ability to follow his will instead of our emotions. So when we're right there at that threshold, that's what we've got to remember. God's ability, not mine. God's ability, not mine. I'm just going to step out in faith. That's what faith is. If you can see it, you can feel it, then it's not faith. But it's faith when you have to totally trust that God is going to take care of it. He's got it in under control. Thirdly, understand your emotions. Emotions provoke psychological changes, which gives us the desire to do something. When our emotions, when we put our emotions front stage, that's what's going to steer us. And a lot of times when somebody's offended us and our emotions are in front stage, what's the first thing we want to do? We want to tell them off, or we want to get even with them, or we want to separate ourselves from them as far as we can. So when you think about that, that's what you're, you know, if you're thinking on those lines, then you're saying, oh, then that's got to be my emotions. That's not a God thing. That's my emotions. So what you do is you have to put the emotions on the back burner, get the word of God out. And, you know, our little daily devotional that we have, there's sections where you can go It'll tell you where you can go in that daily devotional when you're going through turmoil or doubt or fear or frustration. It will tell you places in there to go. Even some of your Bibles in the back, it will give you topical, where if you're dealing with being insecure or whatever else like that, or you're depressed, you go to that topic, and it'll tell you all the scriptures to go to. So those are scriptures that you can stand on. So it says, further, it says, our will or our desire gives us the ability to live beyond our feelings. So when we desire to do what God's called us to do, we have that will, we have that choice to follow God or follow our emotions. Now, I want to share very briefly. I had an experience in my life that it took everything I had to forgive that individual. And I fought it for years, but I was raised in the church. But I didn't have a relationship with Christ. But once I did, when I came across the scripture in Ephesians that says, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as Christ forgave. When I got to that, I go, oh, wait a minute. I don't know whether I can do that. After all, this person really did a lot of damage to my life. I don't think I can. Wait a minute. No, you're asking me to do. No, I don't think I can do this one. But then after being under the word and getting the teaching, I thought, well, I'm going to do this. I don't care if it's just going through the motions. I'm still going to do this because that's what God's word said to do. So again, what I said was, Lord, make an opportunity for me to go to this person and tell them that I forgive them. And the opportunity came up very shortly after I prayed that prayer, very shortly. And I mean to tell you, my hands were sweating. My hands were sweating. My heart was beating about 100, over 100 beats a minute probably. And I was sweating. My stomach was nauseous. And I was fearful. Very fearful. But I went to that person and I said, you know what? I forgive you. I forgive you for what you did. And they said to me, thank you for forgiving me. And I said, did you ask the Lord to forgive you so that you no longer have to carry this guilt and this shame? And that person said, yes, I did. I did go before the Lord, and I asked the Lord to forgive me. But, listen to this part. Our emotions are back there saying, you did what? You did what? How could you? But the thing is this. Given time, our emotions will catch up to our decision to forgive. For me, the day that I went and I asked that person or told that person that I forgave them, it took decades for my emotions to catch up to my forgiveness. Not years. It took decades. Decades. So don't let your emotions come in and say, oh, you didn't forgive them. Look how you still feel about that. It's going to take a while for your emotions to catch up to that forgiveness that you did. But the time will come when it will, and you'll know it. You'll know it in your knower. And you know what? That's when God can totally, totally, totally use you because you have totally given it all to him. Fourth, lastly, you pray for your enemies. Matthew 5. Jesus commands us, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. That is one of the hardest teachings to follow. But be assured that it's to our benefit when we do that. Once we get into agreement with God and his word, we will experience a peace and we will move up into another faith level that we've never experienced before. In Luke 23, Jesus was wrongly accused, mocked, beaten, humiliated, nailed to the cross, And while gasping for breath, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That forgiveness Jesus offers to us today, every single day. How many times are we to forgive someone? What did he say? 70 times 7. That's just in a 24-hour period that he's talking about. So it falls back onto what Martin Luther says. Forgiving is a lifestyle. It's a way of life. That's what Jesus is saying. But the thing is, it's his divine grace, his divineness, his grace, his love, that when that comes into us, it affects those around us. So the choice is ours today to make. Are we going to receive that forgiveness when that person comes and asks for forgiveness? Or are we going to get ready and want to forgive when the opportunity presents itself? Holding a grudge doesn't make you strong, it makes you bitter. Forgiving doesn't make you weak, it sets you free. Again, forgiven people should be forgiving people. After all, we have been forgiven because we accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior. He paid the price for our sins. Our sins are thrown away, into the sea of forgetfulness, and our sins are as far away as the east is from the west. Jesus made it possible. He paid the price. Our slate is clean. So that we can stand before the Father in righteousness. Closing prayer. Lord, please help me to forgive those who I've hurt or who have hurt me. I choose today to live free of the bitterness and the anger over what others have done to me. Help me to release them into your hands. I ask, Father, that you heal my heart. I thank you, Father, for forgiving me of my sins. I'm making a choice today, Father, to forgive those that have hurt me and live now according to your word. And I walk in peace, love, and joy, but most of all, I walk in freedom. In Jesus' name, amen.